Just want to remind everyone that some people will be available to pray for you right up here after the service. So please take advantage of that. And if you are wanting to take the membership class, I want to let you know that to be a member, you also have to be baptized. So if you weren't baptized, then you also need to get baptized. And we do have another baptism class that is offered as needed. Well, in the beginning of this Genesis series, I've mentioned that the bulk of the book is about four patriarchs: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. All of them lived a long life, but out of the four patriarchs, do you know who lived the longest? Who lived the longest among all the four patriarchs? And the answer is Isaac. Isaac lived the longest. He lived 180 years. Though Isaac lived the longest, less was written about Isaac than all other patriarchs. And there are roughly 12 chapters on Abraham, roughly 12 on Jacob, roughly 12 on Joseph, but only 2 chapters on Isaac. And 1 chapter isn't really about Isaac at all. It's about how Abraham's servant found a bride for Isaac. So we don't really find much about Isaac in that chapter. And that leaves us only 1 chapter on who Isaac is and about his life. And that's Genesis chapter 26. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 26 and read from verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Let's go down to verse 12. Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year of the famine, reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. He had so many flocks and herds and servants that the Philistines envied him. So all the wells that his father's servants had dug in the time of his father Abraham, the Philistines stopped up, filling them with earth. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, "Move away from us. You have become too powerful for us." So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitna. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in this land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Then he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzeth, his personal advisor, and Phicol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked him, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you." So he said, "There ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you that you will do us no harm, just as we did not molest you, but always treated you well and sent you away in peace. And now you are blessed by the Lord." Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they left him in peace. That day, Isaac's servants came and told them about the well they had dug. They said, "We've found water." He called it Sheba, and to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. Isaac was born with silver spoon in his mouth. He was the only heir of Abraham, you know, and Abraham was very, very rich. It would be great to have a father like that. Moreover, Isaac was the son of the promise. Isaac was truly born into privilege. Compared to other patriarchs, Isaac lived a fairly quiet and comfortable life, but it was not without trouble and conflict. In many ways, Isaac was a mirror image of his father Abraham. When faced with the famine, both the father and the son responded in the same way. Both went down to Egypt, but in Isaac's case, God told him not to go there. And both had lied about their relationship with their wives. The part that we skipped in today's passage is the story of Isaac's deception about his relationship to Rebekah. Just like Abraham, Isaac was afraid that the Philistines would kill him to get his wife. So he told the Philistines that Rebekah was not his wife, but his sister. Like father, like son. So when King Abimelech learned the truth, he rebuked Isaac, but he also gave an order that anyone who molested Isaac or Rebekah will be put to death. And that was a tangible protection of God. That didn't come from the king, that came from God. Isaac displayed the same weakness that Abraham had, and Isaac's fear became an obstacle for him to be a blessing to the nations. But Isaac also learned some good things from his father Abraham. Isaac was a man of faith, a man of prayer, and a man of peace. The Bible says that when Isaac married Rebekah, he was 40 years old. And like Sarah, Rebekah was also unfortunately barren. So Isaac prayed for her to have a child. And when Isaac was 60 years old, Rebekah gave birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. And that means that Isaac had prayed for a child for almost 20 years. And that also meant that Isaac and Rebekah were able to trust and hope in God for 20 years without scheming, unlike Isaac's father. We know that Abraham and Sarah, they could not wait for God's promise to be fulfilled, so they schemed and tried to get an heir through an Egyptian servant named Hagar. And they experienced a lot of pain and family strife because of that. But Isaac and Rebekah believed in God's promise, and they didn't scheme. They just waited for God's promise for numerous descendants to be fulfilled. And their prayers were answered after 20 years. What have we learned from our parents? As fathers or mothers, What are we passing on to our children? What kind of legacy do we want to leave behind? We also see that Isaac had a very different calling than Abraham. God's call to Abraham was to go to an unknown land. It was a pioneer's call. But in contrast, God's call to Isaac was the opposite. His call was to stay right here. Don't go anywhere, but stay in this land. And now, going somewhere unknown, you know, that sounds like a much harder, much more difficult task. But staying in one place, that's not an easy call either, especially when there's a famine. Isaac was also on his way to Egypt to avoid the famine, but God stopped him and said, don't go there, but just stay in this land. So he stopped. He was on his way to Egypt, but he stops at the edge of Canaan, and that's where the Philistines lived, at a place called Gerar. And Isaac had a very large household. We know that his father Abraham had 318 men trained for war, and more servants were not trained for war. And by the time of Isaac, you know, he must have had more servants, because the servants multiplied, the livestock multiplied. So he had a very, very large household. That means that he had many mouths to feed, not just human beings, but also the animals. Yes, God promised to bless him and to give him this land, but when there's a famine, you can't really eat God's promise. And yet, when God called him to stay, Isaac obeyed and stayed. Isaac is the only patriarch who was born in the promised land, and he was the only one who has never left the promised land. And when he stayed in Canaan, God blessed him. He planted crops, and in the same year reaped 100-fold. And now we know that's impossible, you know, especially during a famine. You know, it may be hard to get 100-fold yield even during a bumper year. So that was clearly God's miraculous blessing. God had provided for God's people and the livestock. You know, like Isaac, most of us are called to stay. We're called to stay. We're called to stay in our neighborhood. We're called to stay in our workplaces, in our schools, and in our church. So, stick around. Long enough to build relationships. Long enough to invest in people. Long enough to invest in your neighborhood and in your church. Long enough to see God at work. Of course, God can call you to go somewhere else. But until God clearly calls you to go, we need to commit ourselves to where God has placed us now. We are starting our fall membership class. And becoming a church member is acknowledging your call to stay at one local church. Until God clearly calls you to go somewhere, you're saying, I will support, I will participate, I will contribute to the life and the mission of this church. So that's going to be at 1:30 today. Let's be committed to our church. Let's be committed to our jobs. Let's be committed to our city and to our role as parents, as disciple makers at home. So the question is not what's next, but the question is what's now? What's God wanting me to do now? Where does God want me to serve now? Whom does God want me to reach out to now? How can we be a blessing to the city now? And the one thing that's very unique about Isaac is that he dug up many wells. And the digging of wells show that Isaac was a man of peace. His father Abraham had stayed in Gerar before, and he lived there for a long time. And he himself, Abraham himself, dug up a few wells. And he was digging a well when Abimelech, it may or may not have been the same king, when Abimelech came, and he also tried to make a treaty with Abraham. And at the time, Abraham complained to Abimelech that the king's servants had seized one of the wells that Abraham had dug. But Abimelech, you know, he was a man of questionable character. He said, oh, he was not aware. He didn't know. And he refused. He did not acknowledge that it was Abraham's well, because, of course, he wanted that well for his people. And when they did make a treaty, Abraham gave Abimelech 7 lambs. And when the king asked, well, what's the meaning of these lambs? Abraham said, well, I give these to you as a witness that I dug this well in this place. So Abraham wanted to make sure that he had the water rights to this well that he dug. Abraham was an immigrant, and he was met with hostility, envy, injustice, and even insult. And Isaac suffered the same fate as an immigrant among the Philistines. When Isaac's household became very rich, the Philistines grew envious. So all the wells that Abraham had dug, the Philistines came and they just filled them up with earth. That's not very nice. Then Abimelech came and said, you've become too powerful for us, so can you move, just move away from us? They, you know, said, in fact, you're not welcomed here, so go back to your country. You know, very similar to what people say in the U.S. People who came here before others, they say to the immigrants, you're not welcome here, why don't you go back to your country? And I think that only people who have the right to say that are the native Indians. Everyone else are immigrants. When Isaac moved away from Gerar, he dug up fresh well. But the Philistines came and quarreled with Isaac's men and said, the water's ours. And if another man were in Isaac's shoes, you know, he probably would have kept fighting and kept quarreling, because, you know, he knew that he was just as strong as Abimelech, if not stronger. But Isaac did not fight back. Instead, he dug another well. But the Philistines came and claimed that well for themselves again. And at that point, any other man would have been infuriated and he would have escalated the conflict. But not Isaac. He pursued peace and not conflict. He moved even further away from the men of Gerar and dug a third well. And there, no one quarreled over it. And he named it Rehoboth, which simply means room. So he said, God has given us room, and we will grow and multiply in this place. Then he moved just further up north to a place called Beersheba. And that was a place where Abraham had made a treaty with Abimelech. And God appeared to Isaac there at Beersheba, and he confirmed his promise for the second time. He said, do not be afraid. I will be with you. I will bless you, and you will have numerous descendants in this land. And it was at Beersheba that Isaac built an altar and worshipped the God of Abraham. And there he pitched his tent to settle down. And there his servants dug another well. And it's not that Isaac's men were very gifted in finding wells and fresh water. It's that God led Isaac to places where he could find water. It was God's leading. And God was leading Isaac to this place called Beersheba. And there Isaac lived most of his life. Not long after he settled at Beersheba, Abimelech came looking for Isaac. And he said, we saw clearly that the Lord was with you. And let us make a treaty on oath that you will do us no harm and we will do you no harm. They Well, before it seemed like Isaac was a bit afraid of the Philistines, but now it seems that the Philistines are afraid of Isaac. He had become that much powerful. But to be exact, it is more that they were afraid of the God who was with Isaac. Though Isaac could have rejected their hand, Isaac welcomed Abimelech and held a great feast for him. And he made a treaty with Abimelech and sent him back in peace. And right after they left, Isaac's servants found fresh water in another well that they had dug. It may have been the same well that Abraham had dug, but then the Philistines filled up, or maybe it was a completely different well. Though no seven lambs were involved in Isaac's treaty with Abimelech, Isaac gave it the same name that the father has given it before. He called it Sheba. So it's called Well of Sheba. And Sheba can mean seven, or it can also mean oath in Hebrew. So it's an appropriate name. And the Well of Oath was not just a reminder of the oath of the treaty between Isaac and Abimelech, but also the oath that God took for Abraham. Because it was there at that place that God confirmed his promise to Abraham, and he continued it to Isaac. He confirmed the same promise to Isaac, and God said that it was made with an oath to Abraham. So that again shows God's commitment to Isaac and to his descendants. The treaty with Abimelech shows that God was being a blessing to the nations. God, because God was with him. Rather than conflict and strife between the nations, Isaac brought peace and harmony between the nations. Perhaps the writer of Psalm 37 had Isaac in mind when he wrote this: "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Consider the blameless, observe the upright. There is a future for a man of peace." That sounds like Isaac. Now, the reason for the Philistines making a treaty with Isaac was this: "We saw that God was with you." The greatest blessing for Isaac was not just the wealth, the material possession, but the Lord himself. God said, "I will be with you." And we too have been blessed with many spiritual blessings, but the greatest of all is God's presence with us. Emmanuel. Now, how can we show others that God is with us today? Because God is with us, Christians overcome our worries, our anxieties and fears. Because God is with us, Christians love the unlovable. We love and serve the least of these. We love each other in the church. Because of Emmanuel, Christians possess the inner joy. Despite an illness or hardships or persecutions. Because of Emmanuel, Christians not only possess inner peace, but also make peace with others. Because God is with us, we're not bitter, but we're thankful. We're not cynical, but we are hopeful. Because God has given his Son, we are generous to others. And we give without expecting anything in return. When a few of us took we took a perspectives class, and one of the missionaries, one of the guest speakers, said, "He said God is huge. God is powerful, and he can fill the universe. And that huge and powerful God lives in each one of us. So if God is that big," he said, "God should leak outside us. You know, God should ooze out of us, he said. So is God leaking out of your life? Is God oozing out of you? Once a week, I and the elders, we get together, we have lunch, and we pray for mostly our church members. And also on Wednesday nights, we also pray for our members as well. And it's really great to see God answer our prayers. We've been praying consistently for our members who are looking for jobs to find jobs. And one by one, we're learning that, you know, that person got a job and the other person got a job. So the people we've been, you know, calling names and praying for, they are getting jobs, and we're truly grateful. Praise God for that. But, you know, there are other things that we pray for church that hasn't really materialized, you know, that we feel like God hasn't really answered. So we might get discouraged. But we can learn from Isaac. We can learn from Isaac's persistent prayer. In some ways, prayer is like digging a well. You stay in one spot and you keep digging and digging deeper and deeper until you hit water. Isaac prayed for 20 years for one topic. And God's promise was fulfilled after 20 years. He kept digging at the well of prayer. Now, have we prayed for anything for 20 years? Have we prayed for anything for 10 years? Have we prayed for anything for at least 2 years? You know, we give up so easily when we feel like God is not answering our prayers. But we can be encouraged to be more persistent, believing that God would answer if we pray according to his will. So when we feel like giving up praying, let's remember Isaac's prayer, and let us keep on digging, keep on knocking, keep on seeking, keep on asking. Then one day we will hit the water. And we know that Jesus promised, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Let's pray. Let's pray for just one thing today. Let us pray that God's presence would be powerfully manifest in our church and in our life, in our thoughts, in our speech, in our actions, in our families, and wherever God has placed us in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that Christ died and rose so that we can dwell in your presence every day. Lord, may we pray that your presence would be powerfully manifested whenever your people gather to worship, whenever your people gather to have fellowship, whenever we gather to pray together. Lord, we also pray that your presence would be manifested in our families, and that we would be your ambassadors, that we represent your presence in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods. Lord, help us to live a holy life as Christ has shown. Lord, fill us with your love and help us to love people around us. Help us to possess inner joy and inner peace, and use us to be peacemakers. Lord, help us to be always thankful, not bitter, not cynical, but hopeful. And help us to be radically generous, because you have been so generous to us. You have given yourself fully to us. And Lord, may we live to honor you and to make your name famous throughout the earth. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.